Welcome to the Sharkpreneur Podcast with Kevin Harrington and Seth Green. Kevin Harrington is the inventor of the infomercial, one of the original sharks from the hit TV show Shark Tank, and has generated over $5 billion in TV and digital direct response sales. Seth Green is the world's first trusted authority on cutting-edge direct response marketing, a best-selling author, and the only three-time Marketer of the Year nominee. On the podcast, Kevin and Seth interview sharkpreneurs who share straight talk on what it takes to explode your business.
49 faces looked to him in triumph. Over the last 12 months, they had each taken turns and promoted his business for a week at a time, driving over $987,342 in revenue. What if you had a network of 50 centers of influence who promoted your business every week for a year? Grab your copy of the number one Amazon best-selling book, The Ultimate Guide to Growing Your Business with a Podcast, at 33% off the Amazon price by going to ultimatepodcastbook.com. Again, that website for 33% off the Amazon price is ultimatepodcastbook.com. Welcome to the podcast. This is Seth Green. Today, I've got the good fortune to be joined by Mike and Bo, who are inspiring me to realize I need a better sign and a better background. thanks for joining us.
Definitely, man. Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Yes.
You guys are up to some really cool stuff in the world, but let's go back in time first. How did you get started?
Don't have any memory of not being started. Came out of the womb looking for a dollar. Honestly, it did start that young for me. I have no memory of not being in some sort of business. I've always been hustling from selling coasters door to door. Opened my first real business with a second type cousin situation and a video stores. Hit the ground running, had a real success run there. So opened a small chain of video stores, went to laundry mats, car washes, video stores, love retail, still own a few furniture stores. And been doing business with Bo and my brother forever, and then Bo probably the last 15 years or so. Yeah. And we've been best buddies for over 25 years. So, yeah, we just keep growing, and he's got his side of it. I have my side, and we do things together on 99% of everything we do going forward.
Yeah, we started out with our own businesses. I've got a construction company, swimming pool installation company, bread distribution company. Just started out as young entrepreneurs, just trying to figure it out on our own. And we're best friends for, like Mike said, probably over 25 years. And then probably about 15 years ago, we started jumping into doing real estate together and acquiring businesses and startup businesses, and just kind of scaled over the last 10, 15 years.
Awesome. Talk a little bit about what you're doing now.
Probably the latest thing we just started, we have a fabrication company in Texas that we've had for the last 6 years, and we opened a new division of that. So we're going into the refineries and doing what they call turnarounds, which is emergency service type work. And also the turnarounds are longer projects of just kind of maintenance on plants. In Houston, we bought our first motorsport store. So we're up to five locations there. Houston Motorsports. We've got a great partner out there, Philip Orange, that runs the day-to-day on that. And
our big thing is
storage.
We do storage, a lot of startup businesses, and then we take the profits from those businesses and invest in real estate. Been doing real estate for a long time now. Just allowed us to scale a little bit more because of the businesses that create the revenue that buys the real estate.
Right.
I love your viral self-perpetuating upward spiral.
Exactly.
How do you pick what businesses to get into?
I think a
lot of times it comes from the people that you're around, it's the product. You know, yeah. We were talking about that last night. It's, you know, people are always inquisitive about it, and they think, well, you know, how do you guys come up with these ideas? And it's not always the ideas, it's the people that we surround ourselves with.
Right.
And then you find yourselves in good cliques of like-minded people that are humble and chasing after it just like how we are. And then you find those commonalities between us and them. And then you realize they're a specialty in fabrication work. So we partner with them on that. Our partner in Houston Motorsports is the best in the business. And he just needed some partners. And we brought the real estate, you know, portion of it to it. And he has all the motorsports background on it. So we scaled that business. So a lot of times it's not necessarily the product. That's more the people that you surround yourself with. And we're big on partnerships.
Absolutely. Could not scale without partners. We don't go looking for the widget. We look for the people, and the people have the widget.
So if I'm understanding the business model correctly, it's almost got you, it's two pronged, and it's almost like you've got a mini private equity fund
where you're partnering, investing in, helping grow businesses, and that is also feeding the your almost your own little real estate investment trust at the same time.
It's exactly what we do. We do not live or off anything to do with the real estate. We just take those funds, reinvest in real estate, and take the profits from our businesses and invest in more real estate. And most so we're long-term people, guys.
That's awesome. I would imagine that most people probably do it the opposite way in terms of investing in real estate first and then going, oh, what do I do with the cash? I could go buy a business. How did you guys arrive at doing it the other way, which is contrarian and probably working even better?
My start of it was opening up laundromats, video stores, and retail businesses. And then you always hit headwinds, right? I mean, they're retail, so you're going to come up with either competitions coming up or technology. But I stood back at one point. I go, you know what? That location where we left and someone else came in, and that location we used to be over there. And I realized after meeting some of the landlords, they're the happiest guy every time. So they just go, great idea. Why don't you sign on the lease here? 2 years later, 5 years, great idea. Why don't you sign on the lease here? Great idea. You went out of business. Next guy up, next guy up. So my very first video store, the building is 6 miles from here and there's someone else in it. So I'm gone, but that landlord's still happy. So I want to get happy.
Awesome. Well, obviously happy is good. So Tell us what's the most, I mean, you're into a whole number of different businesses in different verticals. Some people with a more traditional mindset would say, I don't know anything about the fabrication business. I'm going to pass on that. I'm going to stick to my knitting. It doesn't sound like you guys have said no. From the variety of verticals you're in, there's no unwillingness to learn a new industry, learn a new vertical. Can you talk a little bit about the mindset behind that?
That's where the partnerships come in. I mean, a lot of times, even in our businesses, we're not the type, well, starting out when we were younger, we were involved in those businesses and grinding every day. But we realized that once you put the people in place to do the things that you're doing that don't bring enough value, that's the way to scale. And so we would scale our small businesses as young guys in our 20s and 30s by working our way out of them. And then we realized, well, an even quicker way to scale is find someone that's an expert in that business and then partner up with them so that you don't have to operate them on the daily. The other thing is like with the real estate, like you brought up the fact of some people get into real estate, then they end up jumping into business. We're long-term hold guys. So we're not the flip guys that are looking to make a quick buck. We end up holding them for a long term. So the cash flow is not crazy, but you're constantly paying down that debt and creating that wealth. And so our idea is to buy as much real estate as possible. Someday it'll be paid down, paid off. And then at that time, that's when we'll break the dam loose of the money that we've been, you know, accumulating over the years and start taking draws off of it.
That sounds like an excellent plan. Has there ever been an industry or a business opportunity you said no to? And what'd you learn from saying no?
We don't say no to much.
The thing is, it has to work. When it comes to real estate, we're really picky about the real estate we buy. And so when we tell you about our portfolio, a lot of people, you know, look side-eyed or whatever, but we don't buy anything that we can't sell for more the day we close. So we're really, you know, we have some guidelines that we just stick by, and we say that it has to cash flow within 90 days of owning it. Now, those are guidelines, you know, we break them once in a while, but literally every single piece of property is worth more when we close on it. And it has to cash flow. So if you just keep doing that, it just keeps working. But it's you got to be disciplined, and it is a challenge because people all the time, you know, how do you find those? Knock on a bunch of doors and knock on a bunch more and knock on a bunch more. And then in a year, when you find one, but it made you $1 million, was it hard? Well, it took a year, but I made $1 million. So it just it's hard to explain to people that don't understand. Well, it doesn't make sense. No one would sell that property. They do it all the time. Just old guys are trying to get rid of their stuff or not trying. And we knock on their door and spark their interest, make it easy for them. Do owner carry, do whatever it takes to get them happy. But we're just always looking for deals. And if you look every single day, all day long and have people helping you, you can find them.
That makes a lot of sense. I would imagine at your level of success, it's more important what you say no to than what you say yes to. How do you kind of evaluate whether it's a good opportunity or not?
We all the traditional ways that you know about and that everyone can Google, we use all the other the metrics that everyone else uses. But at the same time, we have a just a cowboy attitude. You can tell by what we businesses we're in, the things we do that aren't traditional, is at the end of the day, we say to each other, you have, when we close, we have to be able to fist pump. If you can't fist pump that you just bought that fourplex or that light industrial or that flex space, it's a cowboy stupid way of thinking. But if you can't fist pump, we stole it, we nailed it, thank God we have this, then we don't close. So yeah, we have all the other, you know, ways of looking up the properties, and you know the same things everyone else knows, but there's also a gut and knowing your area, knowing your territory, knowing your demand, knowing what you can do. We do get all the appraisals. We do everything everyone else does, but at the end of the day, it's cowboy time. Can you fist pump when we close this? If you can't, don't bring it to the table.
And it's part of the partnership. I mean, I really attribute a lot of it to the partnership too, because we hold each other accountable, and we're not going to let ourselves get into a deal that doesn't make sense. It all goes back to being disciplined and persistent about it. And it's the same with the business. A lot of people get, you know, they get emotionally attached to the real estate or a business.
Yes.
And it's more the idea than the fact, is this thing really going to make money? And what is the bleed factor? And just look at all of those parameters to make sure, hey, are we being conscious of every aspect of the opportunity of failure? And if we can say, yes, we've looked at everything. We looked at the complete downside, the complete upside, and be disciplined and persistent about it. I think that's attributed to a lot of successful purchases in business and in real estate.
And we don't have any, we don't have some fund that we're under pressure to invest money or syndication we have to perform. It's none of that. So at the end of the day, you know, these people that are buying the stuff, we own over 150 pieces of real estate right now. We've never bought one at retail, period.
Won't do it.
There's just no time that we went on. Not that we don't use Crexie and LoopNet, but we've never gone on there. Gosh, that $2 million place is worth $2 million. I'll take it. You know, we're not buying toasters at Walmart at retail. We're not doing that. We're looking for smoking deals that we can fist pump.
Well, you talked about, you mentioned fist pump a couple times. So I got to ask, what are the criteria that, I know you said that we stole it kind of. Is there a...
Absolutely.
30% that you're looking for? Is there a cash on cash return that like inspires the fist bump? Are there any discount to market value criteria?
Honestly, what we're trying to hit for is 30% under market value. What we perceive as market value in the areas, you know, with our expertise, we look at it and we try to get to the 30% under value. And so you get that through divorce, death, and distressed properties, the 3 Ds.
That makes a lot of sense. With all the success you guys have achieved, what's your biggest challenge now?
People.
Yeah, staffing up. You know, just, I mean, we're really fortunate to get to the level that we have, but the big portion of it is our team. Our team that we surround ourselves with, the partners that we surround ourselves with, they're amazing. We just need more of them.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right.
Well, you segued perfectly into my next question. Talk about the team that you've built. How have you been able to, are they all physical or some remote? Talk a little bit about how you've been able to recruit, hire, and then grow that culture.
Well, we honestly, it's old school stuff, but we are, we're in, you know, meetings are better in face. So we're in the office type people.
Yeah, we're in office guys. It's hard to work remote with us because we're just moving so fast. So you've got to be on site. We've got an office in Texas, and then we also have our office here in Arizona. But we've staffed up with a lot of younger people that are just eager and hungry to chase after the same thing, like-minded stuff, just like our partners are. So we've got controllers, we've got CFOs, each individual business. We have our office staff centralized in those businesses because we want them on property.
And if you met any of our partners, they're people you want to surround yourself with. I don't care. If you bumped into them in a grocery store, you'd go, wow, there's something about that guy or that lady. Every single one of them have something about them that you just go, wow. And so when you have people that have the wow factor, it attracts other people. So if you're living right and doing everything right, taking care of your health, understanding, not letting greed and being humble, guess what? It's like light to a moth, man. It just, you know, it attracts people when you're doing the right thing and do it for year on and year on. And you're not trying to make the money right now. You're trying to, you know, take care of people and spread the wealth and be humble.
Your passion is obvious. What do you both like best about what you're doing?
It's exciting every day. Right?
No, exactly. Yeah. A lot of people look at it and go, oh, it's the wealth. It's the financial stability, which, believe me, all that is nice. but we get excited just about closing deals. I mean, it's fun. It's fun, the chase. I love negotiations. Mike's really good on the back end with all the books and running the numbers and stuff like that. So it's a combination of us just each bringing our attribute to the team and then closing a deal, because all of us have those different attributes that, you know, breed success. So it's the chase. It's the hustle.
Exactly.
We love it.
You're also not a closed book, right? You guys are sharing a lot of what you're doing with the world. You're broadcasting, you're giving back. What inspired that? And where can our viewers and listeners go to learn more about Mike and Bo?
Honestly, like our younger staff that came in, we had a young man that came in and he's 21 years old. He's an old soul. He came in to see us and was doing some acquisition stuff for us. And he's like, guys, this is something you guys need to share. And we're like, well, we do. You know, people come into our office all the time and they ask us questions and we reach out to people and help them out in our local community. And he's going, no, this, you know, we can take this on a much bigger scale. And so that's what we've done over probably the last 18 months is just push it out there. And it's been really good. We end up coaching. We've got coaching. We've got courses. We've got a bunch of different avenues of people being able to reach out to us and us be able to bring value back to them. So the best way to get a hold of us is to text us. We got a text number. It's 928-605-4335. That's probably the easiest way. Or you can reach out to us and DM us on Instagram. It's Mike and Bo.
Awesome. Well, this has been Seth Green for Sharkpreneur with Mike and Bo. Anything else you want to share before we wrap up? We know your time's incredibly valuable.
Like Bo said, it started organically and we are sharing it with people, and it's kind of blown up into something that we didn't even see it coming. You know, it's just the younger staff saying, let's start filming you. And it was the most awkward thing in the world, because everything we do is private, but we've always had an open door policy in our local community here. And so it's attracted other entrepreneurs, and we love doing what we're doing. And so helping other people, there's a huge satisfaction in that. So we've got a great coaching thing going on, and seeing the people have success is really rewarding.
Yeah. Honestly, like even looking at any business that we're involved in, I would say Mike and I have been best friends for 25 years and business partners for 15. And the reason we became business partners is because we both have the same philosophies. We love bringing value to whatever business that we have, and we love having a great product to sell. And we've realized that when you watch social media, you see a lot of stuff that's out there that you go,
that's bullshit.
It's bullshit. It's not that easy. It's the hard knocks. And Mike and I would say the big thing that's special about us, where we really bring a lot of value to someone that wants to do some of the same things or has some of the like-minded interests that we do, is we take it down to a third grade level. We make it real simple, because that's how we started. We didn't have big mentors. We didn't grow up in a big city and jump into any type of situation where it was easy to scale quick. We had the hard knocks, and that's how we came up. So we understand someone that doesn't understand anything about real estate or business. And so we feel that we can really break it down to a third grade level for them so that they can get started.
That is awesome. Well, again, we know your time is incredibly valuable. We greatly appreciate you spending some of it with us. For Sharkpreneur, this has been Seth Green with Mike and Bo. Thank you, everybody, for watching or listening. We will talk to you or see you next time.
Why do so many businesses struggle while others seem to explode overnight? Do you wish you had the secret to this type of exponential growth? Now, I've scaled more than 20 businesses to over $100 million, and it's not just luck. In my new book with Mark Tim, Mentor to Millions, you'll learn the repeatable framework I use in all my business ventures for massive success. Order at kevinmentor.com and get over $1,000 in bonuses. Head to kevinmentor.com.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.